First of all, I would like to say Dashi Delek to Lama Chamba Thaye and all the Sangha members and Dharma friends who have gathered here tonight. I'm very happy to be here once again in Bristol. And also, today is the first day of the fourth lunar month, or the first day of the Saga Dawa, according to the Tibetan calendar. Actually, according to our calendar, this month is holy month, because in this month, Buddha was born in Lumbini, and also in this month, Buddha attained Buddhahood in Bodh Gaya, etc. So, therefore, this month is known as a holy month, and whatever we do in this month multiplies into millions. So therefore, it is a very important month for all of us. So on such holy occasion, I'm happy to be here and to share some of Lord Shakyamuni Buddha's teaching with you. Generally speaking, we all wish to gain happiness, and we all wish to remove the suffering. So, for that purpose, everybody is busy doing something to achieve their own goal, which is to achieve happiness. But most of us try to gain more wealth, more fame, etc., in order to gain happiness. But we can see in last few decades, there has been great material development in this world. But at the same time, we can't say nowadays people are more happier than a few decades ago. As we can see, still, there are lots of physical pains, mental anxieties, and so forth. So therefore, it clearly shows that inner happiness cannot come just through the material development. So the best way to achieve peace and harmony is through developing our inner mind. So we need to develop positive thought, we need to develop positive mind, so that we can remove the suffering, because by developing the positive thought, we can remove the negative thoughts. And these negative thoughts are the cause of suffering. So, therefore, it is very important to practice loving kindness and compassion. The compassion is the universal religion. So this compassion, or the loving kindness and compassion, are very important, because when we develop such positive thoughts in our mind, then it means we really can help others, we really want to serve others, we really wish others to be happy, we really wish others to be free from the suffering. So such altruistic thought will always make others happy and will not harm anybody. So therefore, this altruistic mind is very important. As it is said in the teaching, the cause of happiness is wishing others to be happy. And also it is said, the cause of suffering is wishing oneself to be happy. So therefore, this selfish thought is actually the cause of our own suffering. And altruistic thought is actually the cause of happiness for us and for others. So therefore, in Buddhism in general, especially in the Mahayana Buddhism, we really emphasize on practicing the loving kindness and compassion. Generally speaking, everybody do have loving kindness and compassion, but most of our loving kindness and compassion are limited. We can only extend our loving kindness and compassion towards our family members and friends and some others. We cannot extend our loving kindness towards all the sentient beings. So therefore, what Buddha said is that we really need to extend our loving kindness and compassion towards all the sentient beings without any exception or without any discrimination. So therefore, in Buddhism, especially in the Mahayana Buddhism, the purpose of practicing Dharma is not for one religion, and also it is not for one kind of people or one race of being. It is for everybody. It is for every race. We don't discriminate any race or any religion or any other ways. Because when we practice loving kindness, we say, may all beings gain happiness, and may all beings engage in the good deeds which are the cause of happiness. And so therefore, when we say may all beings include not only one kind of religion follower, and also all beings does not mean one race or one kind of people. All beings means all. All means everybody, whether you are Buddhism or follower of other religion, or whether you are non-believer, or whether you are from this race or that race. It doesn't matter. We need to extend our love and compassion towards anybody, towards every being. There is no boundary to our loving kindness and compassion. So therefore, if we really practice loving kindness and compassion in a pure way, then there is no hatred. There is no chance to cultivate hatred towards any religion or towards any being. Because having loving kindness and compassion and having anger are two opposite things. They are contradictory to each other. So when we have loving kindness and compassion towards everybody without any exception, then at the same time, we will not have anger towards any being, because anger is something that wish to harm others, and loving kindness and compassion is something that wish to help others. So helping others and harming others are contradictory to each other, and we cannot generate these two different kinds of thoughts at the same time, at the same object. So therefore, if we really develop loving kindness and compassion towards everybody without any discrimination, then we can really suppress or we can really control our anger, we can really control our jealousy thoughts and other negative thoughts. And if we can control our negative thoughts, then we can enjoy the happiness, we can experience the happiness. As we all know, when we generate anger, the time when we generate anger, we will not feel happy. We become ugly, and not only our face become ugly, but also internally we feel very uncomfortable. We don't feel happy, and also it makes others to be unhappy. So anger will always make oneself and others to feel unhappiness. So to control this, we need to develop loving kindness and compassion. And also, like having attachment, if we have very, very strong attachment, then although having attachment is not harming others, but sometime due to this attachment, it can cause us to get angry. It can cause us to get jealousy due to this strong attachment. So because of this attachment, it will lead us to cultivate negative thoughts like anger and jealousy and others, which will create more and more suffering. And also, having attachment itself is not right, because if we have very strong attachment, because of this attachment, we will do many bad things because of this attachment. So attachment will also lead us to do many different kinds of bad things. So therefore, if we really need to gain happiness, we need to control our mind. If we can control our mind, then we can control our physical behavior and our verbal expressions. So therefore, it is very important to not only to understand or not only to have the intellectual understanding of the loving kindness and compassion, but also need to put these knowledge into our daily life, or need to materialize this meaning into our action. We can only make an impact on our mind by doing it. Just having the intellectual understanding cannot make an impact, cannot make a strong impact on our mind. So, therefore, we can say that the knowledge of loving kindness and compassion and the practice of loving kindness and compassion are related to each other, or these two have cause and effect relationship. First, we need to know how to practice. That is the cause. With this cause, then we can have the result, which is to do the actual practice of infinite loving kindness and compassion towards all the sentient beings without any exception. So therefore, these practices will make us happy and will make others to be happy. So therefore, this practice is very, very important. And also, generally speaking, we as a human being, we need to emphasize on the similarities of all the beings, all the beings in general, and especially all the human beings. And we should not emphasize on our differences. We should not emphasize on different religion, different caste, different race, different country, etc. The more you emphasize on the differences of each other, then the more biased thought or more negative thoughts will arise, and that will lead us to experience more and more suffering. So therefore, we should not emphasize too much on the differences of human beings. Instead, we should emphasize on the similarities. We have many, many similarities. Our feature is similar. We all have one face, two hands, etc. So our feature is generally same. And also, not only our feature, but also we all have the same wish. We all wish to gain happiness, and we all wish to remove the suffering. So therefore, we all have this common goal to achieve. So when we have this common goal to achieve, at the same time, if we just ignore others' welfare and well-being and just emphasize on ourselves alone, then it is not right. Not only it is not right, but also through such thinking, it won't give us the real peace and happiness. So therefore, it is very important to think of others, to emphasize on others' welfare and well-being. And also, to start with, first, within the family, we should stay in harmony. That is very important. And then we can extend our peace and harmony towards neighbors and other beings. So gradually, we can extend, and we have to extend peace and harmony towards everybody without any exception. So through this, then we can make this world more peaceful and more beautiful. So therefore, it is the mind that can change the world, and not the physical, not only the physical and verbal actions. Physical and verbal actions are like an attendant of the mind. Whatever mind orders, physical and verbal will follow. So therefore, if we can control our mind, then we can control our physical and verbal actions. So generally speaking, the Buddha's teaching is a mind training teaching. So Buddha teaching will tame our mind, will control our mind, will subdue our mind. And through this, then we can experience the happiness. Actually, it is said that we need to abandon all the negative actions, and we need to perform the virtuous deeds, and we need to subdue our mind. And this is the Buddha Dharma. Actually, in Tibetan, it says, Dipajian Mijashin, Gyawa Pusum Sokbarche, Rangi Semni Yongso, Dul Dini Sankitambayin. So, taming our mind is very important. The Buddha has turned the wheel of Dharma immensely, because the followers have different mentalities. So in order to suit the different mentalities of the followers, Buddha has given enormous amount of teachings. For example, a skillful doctor will give different kinds of medicine to cure different kinds of sickness. So similarly, Buddha has given many different kinds of teachings in order to suit the different mentalities of the followers. So therefore, it is very important to know that teaching or the Dharma is a method, or it is a path or method that will lead us from suffering and dissatisfaction to temporal and ultimate happiness. So we should perceive the Buddha as a skillful doctor, and we should perceive Dharma or Buddha's teaching as a medicine, and we should perceive sentient beings or ourselves as our patients, and we should perceive our defilements and negative thoughts as a sickness, and we should perceive receiving teaching and following the teaching or practicing the teaching like receiving the doctor's advice and following the doctor's advice. So through this, then we can practice the Buddha Dharma in proper way. So, for example, when patient listens to doctor's advice, just by listening to the doctor's advice, it will not cure the patient's sickness. After listening to the doctor's advice, the patient need to follow up. Patient need to follow the doctor's advice by eating the right type of medicine and the right dosage, and also I need to do the right diet, etc., and need to abandon the wrong diet, wrong medicine, wrong dosage, etc. So if the patient follows the doctor's advice, then patient can cure their own sickness. Similarly, just listening to the Buddha's teaching is beneficial, but it is not enough. After listening to the doctor, to the Buddha's teaching, we need to follow the Buddha's teaching. If we follow, or if we put this teaching into action, then we can make an impact on our mind. We can change our mind. We can make our mind more peaceful. So therefore, it is very important to practice. For example, if a patient, if there's a rich patient can support other patients by donating medicine and also encouraging to eat medicine and do the treatments, and this rich patient can sponsor the poor patients. But by helping others, this rich patient can help poor patient. But just by doing this, it will not cure the rich patient's sickness. To cure his or her own sickness, this person should eat medicine by himself or herself. Only then that person can cure his or her own sickness. So similarly, if we sponsor others to practice loving kindness and compassion, or if we encourage others to practice loving kindness and compassion, then that action itself is meritorious and beneficial, but it is not enough. To cure or to control our negative thoughts, we need to practice by ourselves. Just by encouraging others or just by influencing others to practice will not help to control our own negative mind. So everything depends on ourselves. Whether we will have real happiness or not depends on our own practice, depends on how we follow the teaching. If we follow the teaching by ourselves in a proper way, then we can also gain happiness. So when we practice, we should not think that this practice is only for me. This practice is for gaining happiness for myself. We should not think like that. We should think that whatever practice that we do, it is for everybody. It is for the sake of all the sentient beings. So for this, we need to practice. We need to overcome this suffering and the cause of suffering, which is the defilements. For example, if a person who don't know how to sing, and if that person falls in the ocean, then that person cannot save their own life. That person can sink, or that person will drown in the ocean, and that person cannot help fellow beings who are also drowning in the ocean. So similarly, at the moment, we ourselves is bound by negative actions and negative emotions or negative thoughts. So we are sinking or we are drowning in the ocean of samsara. So at that time or at this time, we cannot rescue fellow sentient beings who are also drowning in the ocean of samsara. So to help others, first, we ourselves need to be liberated from the samsara and need to gain enlightenment. And to do this, we need to practice. We need to follow the Buddha's teaching. Through this, we can help others in a better way or in a more effective way. So, therefore, the Buddha's teaching is focusing on mind, focusing on controlling the mind. And also, it is very important to accept the Buddha's teaching not just by faith, but we need to accept the Buddha's teaching by doing thorough examination or investigation. Buddha himself said the followers should not accept his teaching just through faith, but followers should accept his teaching through examination. The more you examine, the more you inspect, the more stronger belief you will have on the Buddha's teaching. So Buddha said, it is like buying a gold. When you buy a gold to check whether this gold is genuine or not, they have to burn it, they have to cut it, and they have to rub it. So by doing these tests, then one can convince this is a genuine gold. Similarly, we should also examine or inspect the Buddha's teaching, and after that, we will be convinced by Buddha's teaching, and then we can accept Buddha's teaching. So Buddha's teaching is actually very wide and deep, but as I said before, infinite loving kindness and infinite compassion are fundamental teachings. Actually, there are other fundamental teachings also, but these two are also the fundamental teachings of Lord Buddha according to the Mahayana Buddhism. And also, it is important to know that the practice of Dharma will lead us to a better state, or the practice of Dharma will give us more happiness. So the word happiness, actually happiness also has different kinds of happiness. The real happiness is beyond this samsara. At the moment, we cannot experience the real happiness. The real happiness can be experienced when we attain the Buddhahood. At the moment, the happy feeling that we have is actually not the genuine happiness. It is suffering of change. Actually, it's part of suffering. It's one kind of suffering. For example, when a poor person suddenly moves into a very luxurious house, then in the beginning, that person will feel happy. But if this luxurious house is the real cause of happiness, then the more that person stays in this house, the more happy he or she should be. But after some time, that person will have this suffering or that suffering. So it means this kind of happiness can become suffering. So therefore, this mundane happiness is actually called the suffering of change. So what we really need is not suffering or change. What we really need is the genuine happiness, which is beyond this samsara. We cannot experience the genuine happiness within this samsara. So if we really need to overcome the sufferings, we need to gain liberation from the samsara. And everybody has the potency to become Buddha or to gain liberation and become Buddha, because we all have mind. And the nature of this mind is pure from the beginningless time. It never stains with the negative thoughts. These negative thoughts are temporal. They are not the nature of the mind. So therefore, these negative thoughts are something that is removable, that we can remove. So, for example, if there's a dirt on the white cloth, then this dirt is not the nature of the cloth. This dirt is temporal. And because it is temporal, if we use the right remedies like water and soap, etc., then you can remove this dirt because this is not the nature of the white cloth. Similarly, our mind, the nature of our mind is pure. The nature of our mind is not anger, not jealousy, not attachment, etc. So the nature of our mind is pure, and because of this, if we have the right remedy or right antidote, then there's no question that we can remove, or there's no question that we cannot remove the negative thoughts. We can remove it. So therefore, we should have the encouragement, we should believe in ourselves, we should have the confidence that every one of us can gain liberation and can attain the enlightenment state because our mind is pure from the beginning of time. So it is very important to have the confidence. It is very important to have the encouragement. If we have the encouragement, if we have the confidence, if we have the belief in what we are doing, then it can make us more diligent, and through this diligence on the right path, we can achieve a great result. So therefore, this encouragement is very important, and also it is very important to know that our life is impermanent. Our life is not permanent. So our life will not remain forever. It will disappear. So therefore, we should think that this present life that we have now has the best opportunity to practice loving kindness and compassion towards all the beings. Although we say some animals like dolphin or others are intelligent or they are smart, but they cannot do meditation, or they cannot extend their loving kindness and compassion towards all the sentient beings. So only the human beings, generally speaking, only the human beings has this power to practice loving kindness and compassion towards all the sentient beings without any exception. So when we got this life, we got this golden opportunity to practice the loving kindness and compassion. And this chance will not be easy to get again and again in the future. So when we got this, we should use this, and we should take this opportunity and practice the loving kindness and compassion towards all the sentient beings. So we should not have strong attachment to this life, but at the same time, we should use this life. We should use this life as a vehicle to go to the next destination, or we should use this life as a boat to cross the ocean or to cross the river. So here, we should use this life to cross the ocean of samsara. So we should not have strong attachment, but we should take care of this life. We should not waste our life. We should take care of it and make use of it. Actually, this life we should use, and at the end, We need to throw it. We cannot keep this life. We cannot keep this body for hundreds of years. We can only keep this life or this body for 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, or 100 years, but maybe not more than that. And we can see and we can hear that not everybody can live up to 100 years. Some dies in mother's womb. Some dies right after their birth. So people die at very different ages. So there's no certain of lifespan for the human beings in this world. So we should use this life in a positive way without any delay. We should not think that I will practice loving kindness and compassion when I get older or when I become old. But there's no certainty for all of us to live until certain age. So we should think that this life or this body is like a paper cup. We will keep this paper cup until we use it. And after using it, we will throw it without having any attachment. Similarly, we should use this life in an effective way. And after using it, there's no choice. We have and we must throw it. And at the time of destroying this body, this body can be disposed by cremating or in one way or another. So without attachment, without strong attachment, we should use it. For example, when you use paper cups or paper plates, we don't have strong attachment to keep this paper plate until we use it. Without strong attachment, we will keep it until we use, and after using it, without attachment, we can throw it. So similarly, we should use this life, we should use this body like a paper cup without having strong attachment, but we should keep it and use it, and after using it, we should throw, or we need to throw it. So, in short, this life is very precious. This life has the best chance to practice loving kindness and compassion. And this life, or this human life, has the best chance to make this world more peaceful and more harmony. So, at the same time, this life is very short. And so therefore, we should use this life in a proper way while we have this. And through this, then we can practice loving kindness, compassion, and other practices. And then we can really spread the peace and harmony, not only in one country, but everywhere. So with this, I conclude my short talk on the power of Buddhism. Thank you. Actually, when we say practice, it does not only mean doing self-practice, doing recitations or doing meditation. Physically helping others is also part of practice. So we need to practice along the way. So practice does not mean only doing recitation and meditation, etc. Helping others, doing wholesome deeds, doing doing wholesome deeds or doing meritorious deeds is also part of practice. Actually, Dharma practice is something that we can do anywhere, anytime. Even when we are doing mundane job, if we do it with sincere thought, with genuine heart, and if we have sincere intention to help others, then our mundane job is also a part of Dharma practice. Actually, in this modern time, there are more distractions, so it's more challenging to practice. But at the same time, some people, they explore a lot, they use these modern technologies a lot, but still they will not feel the real happiness. So they think these modern facilities or these modern techniques are not the actual way to achieve the happiness. So through this also, then sometimes they come back to practice loving kindness and compassion. I think most important is we should not discourage ourselves. If we are discouraged, then we become weak. Then if we become weak, then we become like a sick person. Sick person cannot lift heavy things, or sick person cannot move very actively, right? So similarly, if we are sick with such things, or if we are very discouraged, then we are not strong. We don't have the encouragement. We don't have the wish to do something big. So I think first it is very important to have the encouragement or to have the self-confidence. And even though you are facing a very difficult situation, but if we challenge it with confidence, then there is a way to overcome it. There is a way to have a brighter future. I think there is a saying, right? At the end of the tunnel, there is always a sunshine, right? So when we are in the tunnel, we should not think that there's no sunshine at all. At the end of the tunnel, there's a sunshine. So we should not lose our hope. We should not discourage ourselves. We should have the confidence in ourselves. Anger or other negative thoughts has been in our mind for a long, long, long time, not only in this life, but from beginningless time. So therefore, it is not that easy to control, but we should put effort to control it. Because if someone steals our things, then if we get angry, angry does not give back the things that is stolen by the thief, right? So therefore, we should use our skillful means and try to get the things back, but not by anger. Anger will not, just by having anger, will not get back the things that is stolen. And also, by having anger, one will not feel happy. And so if we really think on the consequence of this anger, then we can see that there's no point of having anger. But also, at the same time, anger is something that is not easy to control. And also, if someone shows us the anger, at that time, if we reply with anger, then it's not right. When someone shows us this anger, we should think that this is the best opportunity for us to practice the tolerance. So through this way, we can improve ourselves, and also we can accumulate merit. But if we try to react by anger, then it will be more problem. It will be more suffering for both sides. So anger is always the cause of suffering. So if we think of the consequence or the faults of the anger in this life or in the future life, through this way, we can control our mind. And when someone shows us the anger, we should think that that person has no control over his or her own anger, because anger can come or anger can rise in our mind or in their mind anytime, anywhere. We don't need to make an appointment to have an anger or to rise the anger. When due to certain factors, due to some small factors or minor factors, suddenly anger can arise in our mind. So therefore, we should try to control, and if we see someone is getting angry, then try to think that this is not the fault of the person, but it is the fault of this anger. Anger controls this person, right? So, for example, when a person hits someone by the stick, actual pain is caused by the stick. But the stick has no intention to hit other, because then we are not getting angry to this stick, although this is the actual cause of the suffering. But we know stick has no power, no control, whether to hit or not. Stick has no control. It is controlled by the person who used this stick to hit. So similarly, anger used this person to show wrathful face or to harm others. So for example, if someone is hit by hand, this hand has no power. The hand has no control. Hand or the body is controlled by the anger, by the mind. As I said before in my talk, mind is the one that gives the order, and physical and verbal actions are the attendant or the followers of this mind. So mind is both, and physical and verbal are like the attendants or the servants of this boss or the mind.